Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Talk New York sports here. The Fan.
Aaron Glenn better knock it off, man. All of these different phrases and analogies. Just knock it off, man. These Jets fans don't want to hear it, bro. Find a way to win. We'll get into the NFL conversation. Good morning, good morning. It is Thursday. We will get there. Let me finish my Yankees thoughts, and then I will speak on the Mets, and then we will take your calls at 888-808-1019. Again, we are streaming on YouTube. Shout out to everybody in the chat. Ade, Armin, Pam. I saw a Yankee girl left because you guys were bullying her. She left. She said, I'm not going to stand here if these are all boys. You guys are going to be mean to me. Everybody in the chat, act cool. All right? Everybody relax. Mr. Met Killer, relax. Everybody be nice. Anyway, so I didn't mention Luke Weaver yet. If you missed my open, just go back in the Odyssey app 15 minutes. But I was kind of going through, you know, different parts of the Yankees tonight and the good that we saw. And yeah, you know, it's tough when Luis Gil gets in a little bit of trouble. He doesn't go deep in the game. You do have some worry about the bullpen, going to the bullpen early, but the bullpen was solid tonight. They didn't give up anything tonight. And Luke Weaver goes out there, gives up a leadoff single, but after that, he absolutely locked in, had a couple flyouts, and then a strikeout, and you're like, whoa, that's the guy we're looking for. That's the guy we're looking for is Luke Weaver back. Luke Weaver gets the hold, and Camilo Duvall, not a save situation, but the last three outs of the game, he went in there and looked perfectly fine to me tonight. So it's progress. It's positive. When you're playing these teams like the Twins this late in the season, this series, this soft spot in the schedule could be a trap series. They escaped the trap. When you're playing these teams like this late in the season, where it matters for you and it doesn't matter for them, of course you need to come out with the wins, but you also need to be sharpening your sword. You also need to be working on your craft. You also need to be getting right. And this was supposed to be a spot for the bullpen to get right. And I think they did so tonight. 888-808-1019. Anybody else that I did not mention? Shout out to Goldie with two hits, trying to leg out that last double. I don't mind it, Goldie. Hustle, go after yours, you know. Goldie's got a sneaky good batting average and OPS. Like, you kind of forget about Goldie because they'll throw Ben Rice there. You know, but Goldie's almost hitting 280. OPS, almost 750. When you think about the year for Paul Goldschmidt for $12 million, I mean, I'm not mad at what we're getting out of Paul Goldschmidt, and maybe he's got a little more in the tank for October. Do it, old man. Oldie but Goldie. And, yeah, I don't know. I'm looking at the Yankees like, please do not have a letdown against the Baltimore Orioles here. The Baltimore Orioles, we have seven games against coming up. And the Baltimore Orioles are another team that is, you know, eliminated and not playing for anything besides being spoiler. But don't drop your level of compete. Go to Baltimore and be ready to bully. 888-808-1019. Now, you know, Cam Schlittler only goes 4 2/3. Luis Gil only goes 4 2/3. It kind of reminded me of the situation that the Met fans were dealing with for weeks with their starting pitching. You know, I think their starting pitchers were averaging 4 2/3 innings. And on a night like tonight, where you beat up on the Padres the night before and you feel good about yourself, back-to-back wins, I had wrote in my notes last night, sometimes I will start my notes, you know, as soon as this show is over and I start putting things in my notes, and I'm not like making this up. Yesterday in my notes, I wrote, what version of David Peterson are we getting? Cornrow Soto is going deep tonight. He did. But the San Diego Padres will bounce back. This is a high payroll team with all stars. This is a team with a GM that always goes for it. This is a team with World Series aspirations. They are not just going to lay down. It's all-star versus all-star snub. Nick Pivetta probably looks at David Peterson like, this guy was an all-star over me? We almost kind of forget that David Peterson was an all-star this year. We almost forget that David Peterson had outings this year where he had complete games, pitched into the eighth inning. You could argue at some points of this year that David Peterson was the best pitcher that they had, starting pitcher they had. There were points of last year where I said he was the unsung hero for what that, you know, what that guy did down the stretch for the Mets. But tonight is rough because they get to him early, and it's little things, you know. And obviously you can't be perfect. And I always remember the quote from David Peterson last year when he said, you know, everybody's pulling the same rope and nobody wants to be the guy that like lets go of the rope and lets the team down. Like, he took it very seriously. But early in this game, Tatis single, Luis Arraez walk. So you're just, that's not a good start early in the game. The Padres strike first. They're able to get one on the board, which shows you, hey, different game tonight. These guys are going to fight. These guys are going to battle. They're not going quietly. And the Mets battle too. The Mets bounce back right away. Pete Alonso homers for the third straight day in a row. Pete has 36 homers on the year, looking for 40 this year. Looking for 40 and opting out and trying to get paid this year. Paid Pete, the polar bear. I see you. I see the vision. But as that game continues, you know, Jake Cronenworth takes the lead right back. And it's clear that the Padres want a battle. It's clear that the Padres are here to play. They're playing up. This is a postseason team. This is a team right above you in the wild card. This is a team that swept you already this year. This is a team that's not trying to give any ground. And as Peterson continues to battle, he gets through four. And then when you start the fifth inning with a hit by pitch, it kind of reminds you of like the first inning where it's like, okay, little mistakes like that can loom large. So Jake Cronenworth hit by pitch, and then Diaz laid down a sack bunt. Tatis walks. You're giving them bases. You're giving them opportunities. You're putting guys on base. Luis Arraez singles. And now you're in big trouble because here comes Manny being Manny, Manny Machado, one of the best hitters in baseball, a guy that's just cold-blooded like that, chewing his bubble gum. He goes down and gets that curveball, and it's a grand slam. He goes down and hits that one out to left field, and it's like, well, there's the game. Because as you're getting late into the game, the Mets don't usually rally, right? When you get late into these games, it's, you know, we've said it all year. They have a glass jaw. They never have a rally in their bones. They're never coming back. They're dead in the water. Whatever you want to call it. Whatever you want to say. However you want to phrase it.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Juan Soto tried to put the team on his back tonight, though. You know, Juan Soto hits his 41st home run. And when he hits his 42nd home run, the Mets are going to raise the banner saying Juan Soto hit more home runs as a Met than he did a Yankee. I'm sorry, I had to sneak that in there. But Juan Soto literally did try and put the team on his back. Juan Soto homers to cut the lead in half. And then later, when he had that at-bat against Mason Miller, which I'm watching Mason Miller pitch, and I'm thinking to myself, this guy could have been had by the Mets or the Yankees. Mason Miller, throwing 103 miles an hour, was out there for the taking, a young guy under control. I know they gave up a lot for him, but I know Met fans got to see him up close and personal tonight in Citi Field. You know, he's able to go out there for two innings. And Soto almost got to him by less than a foot. Oppo, that ball just whoop, right by the foul pole. Soto's had some close ones, some close calls in that Met uniform. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the Met uniform. 888-808-1019. But, you know, at 6-3, you're just kind of hoping they can hold, right? You're hoping that the Mets bullpen can hold. And they do for the most part. Hamill, Soto, Helsley, and that is positive. That those guys don't completely implode against a good team. That those guys go out there and get outs. Those guys go out. Soto ends up striking out too. Helsley doesn't give up a homer. Helsley doesn't give up extra base. You know what I'm saying? He's, you know, I think as you're looking for those type of things down the stretch here, getting closer to the postseason, you can only hope that those guys don't give it up like they have. And then here comes Francisco Alvarez, not hurt from wearing one yesterday. He homers. So, you know, the Mets ended up having four homers in this game. And it's tough because, like, they fought. It's tough because if you hit four home runs in a game, usually that's a good time. Usually that's a game that you win. But they're not able to pull it off. Marte had the other homer. I was like, who else homered? Pete Alonso, Marte, Soto, and Alvarez. And then late in the game, Ramon Laureano homers to make it 7-4. And it just seems like it's out of reach. And, you know, they rally a little bit late. But all in all, you know, Soto lines out. And that's the game. And now for the Met fan that's going to the game tomorrow, you should go to bed, quick turnaround. And for the Mets team, this is a must win. This is a big game. And I've seen the Mets have good day games in that building. I've seen the Mets respond with quick turnarounds. But now you've got Jonah Tong on the mound, who's absolutely looking to redeem himself. Jonah Tong, who had a little bit of a moment with Luis Arraez coming over to the dugout and like kind of hitting his brim. And I just see this guy, and he's a boy. He's a little boy. He's a little kid, but he's got to be a man on the mound at 110 tomorrow. He's got to absolutely hold it down for the Mets. And the Mets got to find a way to beat the San Diego Padres because it's time to win series. You're running out of games. Like, all the good vibes about winning back-to-back games, you lose tonight and you lose, well, today now at 110, you lose the series, you go right back to where you were. So, you know, my analogy for the Mets right now is to tread water. You can't go on another losing streak. You can't, because like, okay, if you lose this game with Jonah Tong and then say you lose the opener to the Washington Nationals, you can't have another three-game losing streak. It is so crucial to defeat the Padres here and then maybe sweep the Nationals, because in that last week of the season, you might not have to sweat so much. But I just feel like the Mets, they may just sweat because they lost eight in a row. That's when they were absolutely sinking. But it's like they came back up a little bit. And now that you have your head above water, you just have to tread water for the last 10 games here. Yeah, for the last 10 games here, tread water and survive, and you should be in, even if it's by a half game, even if it's by a tiebreaker. This Mets team should be going to the postseason, and then we'll worry about who pitches in the postseason and who they face and where they got to go or whatever it is. You know, they have to make the postseason. There's nothing else. They have to get in. And they, like, I don't expect them to rip off a winning streak, but you can't have another losing streak. So tread water. Like, win a game here against the Padres so you win a series. Maybe take two out of three or sweep the Nationals. It's going to be tough to go into Wrigley and beat the Cubs. They're one of the best teams in baseball. And then the Marlins. The Marlins are, they're going to have it out for you in their building. That's their World Series. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the phones. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Shout out to everybody on YouTube watching me kind of like wipe my nose, not blow my nose. Like I said, I just got hit with the allergies like crazy. I said, it's something. Boone's got something, but I'm champing it out. Carlos and Clifton back on the Fan. What's up, man?
Hey, Keith. What's up, my brother? I got a couple of Yankee points and just one Giants point. I know Sunday is so far past, but what I saw from tonight, I don't know if these were Boone ideas. I love that they didn't put Volpe back out there. You know, even after the good game he had the previous day, you know, you still got to earn that spot. So I like that they're going to have these two shortstops, you know, switching on and off. That'll keep the competition up.
Yeah, platoon.
I love Jazz. Chizzy getting busy. I saw two of the most athletic plays, and I've watched a lot of baseball from a second baseman in my lifetime. And he did it in times that we needed, because this was Friday night's game coming back to haunt us again. These kids from the Twins, I don't know, they can hit. They weren't giving up. And, you know, Jazz made that play at the most opportune time in the game that I felt a little good about it. And then also, I don't know if it was Boone or what, putting Duvall in, even though it wasn't a safe situation, but letting him be in his fields in the ninth inning. Because this kid, he looked night and day different. Throwing 101, throwing balls by people, that might be something. If you could get that kid right, then we got the dual closers come playoff time. And then I'm just going to give you one more thing I just seen all over the place getting traction. Trade what Russell Wilson to the Bengals for a fifth round pick? What are we talking about? What are we talking about? I mean, this is great for us right now. You keep Wilson playing at a high level, we could fleece somebody in the middle of the season if our season's not going right. We could fleece somebody, fifth round pick. And I'll let you go, Keith. Have a good one.
Thanks for the call, Los. Last night I had mentioned Jameis Winston. There's rumors swirling around them both. They're both veteran quarterbacks who started games last year. Russ just put together a 450-yard, three-touchdown game over the weekend. The Giants would not trade Russell Wilson. Jameis would be more realistic. But I also feel like the Bengals aren't going to give anything up. They did this with Jake Browning. And I didn't realize last night how long Burrow is going to be out. It's season changing. I don't know. The Bengals, like, they paid their two receivers. They obviously paid Burrow a couple years back. He goes down now, and I don't know what they're going to do, but I don't think that they're going to make a move for one of the Giants quarterbacks. I think the Giants like their quarterback room. I think they like what they have. And I mean, I know they have Jackson Dart, and I'm glad, right? This week on the Fan has not been start Dart. Oh, you got to just go play Jackson. No, because Russ showed you he still got it in him. He could still do that. It's not going to look the same against the Kansas City Chiefs and Spags defense. I guarantee you that. Like Matt Eberflus and Trayvon Diggs and like Cowboys secondary, Kyer Elam and Wilson and, I don't know, Hooker. And those guys were all over the place. I think they were just asleep. They didn't have much of a pass rush up front. But whatever, we'll get to the NFL stuff a little bit later. I'm still getting these Yankee calls and Mets calls. So I'll go back to what Carlos said about Doval. I mean, I don't think we'll have a dual closer thing in the postseason. But you could have a lower leverage guy go out there and close the game, and that's Doval. But your actual closer in save situations is Bednar. But, like, Doval goes out there against Byron Buxton. He throws a 98-mile-an-hour cutter, swinging strike. Then he goes off-speed with the slider, 89, foul tip. And then he just revs it up again, 100 miles an hour with the cutter. Bye. Good night. Three pitches. And then all it takes is three pitches to get the next batter. Slider, slider. Okay, here's the cutter. You put that in play, pops it up. And then Trevor Larnach strikes out swinging to end the game. And he doesn't even have to rev up his fastball to face him at all. It's just slider, 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 slider. So, yes, these things can build confidence in a guy like Camilo Doval. I know I had said DFA him, and they're not going to DFA him. He's under control. Like, Cashman didn't go get him to DFA him. And they really don't have any room to get rid of any of these guys. What they have to do is keep getting them work. What they have to do is keep getting them reps in these games and hope that their confidence gets right for the postseason. 888-808-1019. Phil is in Sheepshead Bay on the fan. What's up, Phil?
Hey, Keith. Good morning. Early good morning to you. Keith, I watched the ball game tonight. And if you remember last year, Peterson came out of the bullpen. He was good in the playoffs. And this is what I'm thinking. Let Senga come back up. Senga start a game and have Peterson come in for 3-4 innings. That might work because him by himself, he keeps imploding, and there's only 10 games left. I'm sure the general manager, Stearns, realizes that, especially out the manager, Mendoza, and it's time to get serious. I'm going to leave you with that. Have a good evening.
Thanks for the call, Phil. Are you saying to have Kodai Senga piggybacked by David Peterson or vice versa? Is that where we're thinking or going now? What if the piggyback doesn't work this weekend with Clay Shaw? I think we got to slow down. Like, it worked. It worked against the Padres two nights ago with Clay Holmes and Sean Manaea. David Peterson's got to be better, man. His stuff's got to be better. Can't walk guys. Can't hit guys. Can't leave that pitch to Manny Machado. With Manny Machado's swing, he's going down there and he's getting that. He's got to be better. I literally wrote in my notes last night, what version of David Peterson are we getting tonight? What is this team doing without David Peterson? Like, just relying on the kids and Clay Shaw now? I don't know. Peterson goes out there tonight. He throws 85 pitches, 49 of them for strikes. Peterson goes out there tonight. He's got three walks. Gives up the homer. It's a grand slam. Gives up six runs. It puts you in a tough spot. Five innings, six runs. Puts you in a tough spot for a team that's trying to win games, a team that's trying to hold off these bum-ass teams that, like, are behind you in the standings that, like, those teams, nobody wants those teams in the postseason but their fan bases, you know? Like, when you're talking about payroll, like, these are two high payroll teams right next to each other in the wild card standings. You got to compete. I expected the Padres to come out and compete tonight, and they did. They got the best of David Peterson. He gave up six runs. That's too much. Anything but a grand slam there to Machado. Can't happen. But, like, he is a starter. He is your one starter that had a complete game this year. Mendy, after the game, said, we're going to need him. And someone asked, like, is he going to make his next start? Yeah, what are we talking about? Yeah, he's making his next start. And we're going to hope that he can go 6, 7, 8 innings and not give up so many runs. And Kodai Senga, if he comes back, I don't think they're going to necessarily piggyback those guys. Peterson has come out of the bullpen before, maybe. But is that what they're going to start doing now? Stacking starters and hoping that works. What if, as I said, what if it doesn't work? What if it isn't as effective as it was two nights ago with Clay Sean? 888-808-1019. Starting pitchers got to pitch. They got to hold it down. And then the bullpen's got to hold it down. And they got to hit too. But it's not gonna, no one's going to make it easy for you. Like, the Padres are one of the better teams. Like I said, the Padres have aspirations of winning the World Series. They got good hitters. And after getting beat yesterday, it's kind of funny how it kind of flipped, right? 8-3 game, 7-4 game. And last night, the three runs that the Padres scored were all off of solo shots. And tonight, the four runs that the Mets scored were all off of solo shots. That's how it goes. But yeah, you need Peterson. Because, like, who are your postseason starters right now? If you're taking him out of, like, you're going to go into a wild card round and you're going to plan to pitch in three games. David Peterson, Nolan McClain, and then maybe try and do the Clay Holmes, Sean Manaea tag team piggyback? Jonah Tong is out. He's too young. He's just a boy. Brandon Sproat, maybe, but I just think that's wild, yo. I just think that's crazy for a team with this much talent, this much money spent, this many proven postseason performers to, like, let a game. I don't know. I wouldn't do that. 888-808-1019. Met fans, call me up. Tell me what you're thinking. I think that you need a great performance out of them at 110. It's a quick turnaround. I think the bats will be there. Can Jonah Tong, against this Padres lineup, have a bounce back performance and hold them down for at least four innings? It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. He's like, you come out of the gate facing Fernando Tatis Jr., Luis Arraez, Manny Machado. Like, it could be, I don't know, it could be a bad day. And then even as you get lower in their lineup, you know, Jackson Merrill and Jake Cronenworth, Candelita hasn't done anything in there. But no, you need to take this series. Because if you don't take this series, then the Nationals, who beat you in Nationals Park, they come into your building and they want to play spoiler. I remember them trolling the Mets, right? When they took two out of three from the Mets in Nats Park, and I think it was a Sean Manaea pitch game and a Kodai Senga pitch game, the National social media team came out there and said the best thing about LOL Mets is the two L's. And they were laughing and trolling. They're not going anywhere, not doing anything, but to take a series from the Mets that are trying to get to the postseason, trying to avoid this epic collapse, they're here to play spoiler. So I think you gotta beat the Padres, because that's a morale thing anyway, right? Before you go into the postseason, hey, you know, we just took two out of three from the Padres. You know, we can take two out of three from whoever we face in the wild card. And like I said, I think Soto right now is trying to put the team on his back. Didn't Soto have a play from the outfield to put out from it? He threw somebody out. I think he threw Arraez out at second base. Yeah, he threw Arraez out at second base before the run could score. He kind of, I think, deked him, like, you know, like jogged towards the ball and then fired it in. Soto's playing well. Soto is trying. I even liked after the game, they asked Soto about him tying his career high. And he said, you know, we didn't get the job done. So, like, it's whatever. Like, he wasn't going to celebrate. I don't know. I've heard Soto many times talk about himself and his accolades. He's not on that tonight. He talked about, we're trying to go all the way. You know, it is what it is for me. But we lost the game. So, good to see Juan Soto kind of grow and learn how to talk to the media here in New York. And then also just doing what he can at the plate. Like, I even heard him say, like, he missed one in a second at bat. He's like, yo, don't miss it. You know, be on these pitches. So expect Soto and Alonso. Like, those guys usually have a good turnaround the next day. Like, I've seen Alonso and Lindor, those guys, like, they come to the ballpark ready to play for these early games. So we got that coming up. Also coming up, some football conversation. Yankee fans on hold. I see Moose, David, everybody in the chat. I'll get to you. We'll keep the conversation going around the Yankees and the Mets, and then we'll definitely get to the football in the 1 o'clock hour, as I've got some thoughts around Tyrod Taylor facing the Bucks. Justin Fields has been ruled out. And now you've got a Giants team that is going to be on display for the world to see, the standalone Sunday night football game, the opener in their building. And it's just, it's a tough one. And it's only going to get tougher down the stretch here to win games. Keith McPherson on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Talk sports hands-free. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Count on Sundays all season long with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
I just spent the whole break sneezing and blowing my nose, man. You know, as soon as the seasons start to change, I always have terrible seasonal allergies. I got everything on deck. Flonase, Zyzol, Zyrtec, everything. Afrin. I don't know, man. I wish there was a way to just, like, take a shot and cure, like, seasonal allergies. Because I'm not sick. It's just a seasonal allergy type of thing where it comes over you. And I didn't feel like this earlier today. I honestly didn't feel like this until probably like 8 or 9 o'clock tonight. And it makes it tough. I just had the thought too, like I'm on video and everybody in the YouTube chat is telling me like drink ginger and lemon. And I'm like, I'm not sick. People like feel better. I'm like, I feel fine. It's just a sinus thing. And I know the digital team is probably going to clip something that I say and then put it on social media. And I'm going to have this like balled up tissue in my hand while I'm trying to talk about David Peterson and Kodai Senga, not piggybacking him and like wire. I don't know. Anyway, with the Mets, they made their bed. They're lying in it. David Stearns, this is what you set up for him. You're only going to go as far as the day's starting pitcher goes, right? You're really only as good as today's starting pitcher. And if Jonah Tong goes out there and this lights are too bright for him, the sun is too bright for him, the stage is too big for him, and he folds like he did last Friday, like, that's not good. That's the situation that you've created. Tyler McGill never came back. Frankie Montas got hurt. Kodai Senga got sent down. You are where you are at this point, and I don't know. I think that's just crazy to as a GM, bank on kids. And like this, they're already in the postseason. Every game they play has a postseason feel to it because there's stakes attached to it for the Mets. So I don't know. I think if you lose this series and the way you look at the Mets schedule, like to look at the Mets lose 1, 2, 3, 4, like four straight series, and then you've got three series left, and most likely you'll have to win those series. Like, I remember taking a screenshot of September and putting it on Twitter and saying, how many of these series do you think the Mets are going to win? I think the only one we looked at as a lock was the Nationals. And I said, that spells a problem for their chances to make the postseason. You can't lose out the rest of the way. You can't lose every series. And not only did they lose, like, they lost to the Reds, got swept by the Phillies, lost to the Rangers, Now, here comes the rubber match against the Padres. Can't lose to the Nationals. And like I said, it's going to be tough to go to Chicago and beat the Cubs. They've got too many good players and good pitching and, like, good manager and all that. I don't know. I want the Mets in it because I want us to have that. I want New York to have that. I want the fan to have that. Both of us are destined now for the wild card round. So it's just better when New York is in it. 888-808-1019. It's just better to have the Yankees and the Mets playing in the wild card round. These football teams are cooked, bro, and I'll talk about that in a minute. It sucks. It honestly sucks to get all hyped up for football season, to have this hope and this promise, to be sold a dream on both sides. Aaron Glenn, I said Aaron Glenn enough with the words, bro. Like, now Aaron Glenn has to, you know, come up with these different words and phrases and analogies. You've heard it from every other Jets coach, and we just want to see how they come out and play. And last week's game set them back. All the goodwill from the moral victory in the first week, I don't know what to expect now going down to Tampa with the Bucks. And same thing with the Giants. Like, the Giants are looking at 0-3 because you're facing a Chiefs team. They haven't won a game since the AFC Championship. They're hungry for a win. They can smell a win. And Andy Reid has been to Giants Stadium plenty. And Spags as well. And I just think that they're going to look at what the Giants did last week and be able to counter it. And, you know, this is New York where it's tough. Like, your home fans can work against you. Giants fans are going to be pumped up Sunday for Sunday night football and to be in their own building. But if they come out there and lay an egg, fans start booing. Fans start getting nasty. Players can hear you, and I don't know, it could turn. So we'll see. We'll get to it. But let's get to these calls. Moose is in Jamaica. What's up, Moose? You're on the Fan.
Here, Keith. What it do?
What's up, man?
Chilling. So, yeah, quickly on the Yankees, I was looking at the standings, and the only possible way we win the division is if we go 8-2 in the rest of these 10 games, which is totally possible. But the Blue Jays would have to go 3-7, so we'd be one game better than their record. But considering
the division is over,
the Blue
Brody.
Jays have,
yeah, we're not even talking about winning a division. We're not even talking about a bye anymore. I think at least now it's Thursday. We kind of knew that 2 days ago. The Blue Jays, all they do is win. All they do is rally back and find ways to win. Did they lose tonight? Because they just always come back.
They did.
They did lose 2-1 tonight. Wow, would you look at that? But still, we don't. They own the tiebreaker. We don't have enough time.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, but you know, a man can dream. Quickly on the Mets, I believe I expected the Mets to lose today, and I do see them winning tomorrow because of that jet lag sort of time differential, 1 p.m. start. For a West Coast team that's probably waking up in the morning the time the game starts. So their biological clocks might be off, but this is a natural occurrence for athletes. But considering the starter for the Padres, Randy Vasquez, former Yankee in the Soto deal, how ironic they're going to probably face each other tomorrow, but I don't know if that's irony because it's different teams, but so, yeah, I kind of expect the Mets to bounce back, but they really need to sweep, like you said, Keith, they need to sweep
the Nationals
because the rest of the schedule is a little more daunting. That's all I really have to say. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for the call, Moose. Yeah, I'm out on the division. The division, I honestly think once they drop that first game of the back-to-back games. They couldn't sweep the Red Sox on Sunday Night Baseball, and then they dropped the first game of the Twins series, and that was it. And it is what it is. The Blue Jays have owned them, and the Blue Jays, like I said, they rallied to come back and win in the ninth inning on Saturday. Good for the Blue Jays. Like, congrats. But I think there's a storyline here where the Yankees, whether they get the Red Sox or the Astros in the wild card at Yankee Stadium, right? I expect the Yankees to have that top wild card and host the three-game wild card for the first time in the Bronx. Whoever they get, they handle. Call me up with your thoughts on who should pitch and when. If it's me, I'm rolling out Max Fried game one. And I don't care if that's against Garrett Crochet or if that's against Framber Valdez. Like, I'm rolling out Max Fried game one. Now, if you win or lose game one, that can change what you do in game two, right? If you lose game one and you need a must win, I think most people would think you're putting Carlos Rodon out there. But I understand the logic of throwing someone out. Now, Will Warren, no. I don't think Will Warren gets a start. But the debate is between whether you put Cam Schlittler or Luis Gil there. I'm leaning towards Luis Gil because last year he pitched in the postseason. And I also was talking about how, you know, he's fresh. How Cam Schlittler, I think, is going to hit a little bit of a late rookie wall here. And how he'll, you know, he was shut down for most of the season. But I think my three pitchers are Fried, Rodon, Gil. And if you want to save Rodon for the potential rubber match, game three, you know, do or die, go for it. But I just think it's you pitch Fried game one. I think I was listening to Evan and Tiki, and somebody might have suggested kind of like, maybe it was a caller, almost suggested like conceding the loss to Garrett Crochet. Like, dude, like there's no way you could beat Garrett Crochet. No, you go best on best. You go Max Fried versus Garrett Crochet. It would be Garrett Cole. Wish we had Garrett Cole. Could you imagine? If we had Garrett Cole, it'd be Garrett Cole, Max Fried, Rodon next year. But, you know, I expect this postseason guys like Trent Grisham to perform. Cody Bellinger to perform. Oh, how will the Yankees ever pivot and replace the production of Juan Soto, Keith? Fairly easily. When you just look at what Trent Grisham and Cody Bellinger have done in that same outfield. And then when you add in a Ben Rice, you know, you add in a Paul Goldschmidt. Like, as much as we went back and forth on the pivot and plan B, and, you know, I think a lot of us, myself included, our judgment was clouded by, we only got back to the World Series the one year this guy was on the team. How do we get back to the World Series without him? Well, it's a different year. And honestly, it's a different team and a deeper lineup. And, like, they could be a real threat. Add Jazz Chisholm having the best year of his career. Like, the Yankees don't miss Juan Soto's homers, runs batted in, walks. Obviously, the tandem of him and Judge, where any pitcher has to face them in the first inning starting a game, is crazy. But, I mean, even the, you know, just Grisham at the top of the lineup, Rice, Judge, Belly, like, the Yankees have a lot of good hitters. The Yankees have a tough lineup for whoever they end up facing. And Judge got to turn it on. You know what? Like, we won't know who the MVP is until after the postseason, but wouldn't it be something if they snub Judge of the MVP and Judge actually goes MVP this October and carries the Yankees, you know, to the World Series? Who knows? Who knows? David is in Lakewood, New Jersey on the fan. What's up, David?
Yeah, how are you? A couple things, but let's start with Judge. So I was listening to MLB Network today and the radio, and they were saying that Cal Raleigh is using.
We're losing you, David. Your signal is breaking up. If you want to try and relocate, you're coming in choppy. I'm not going to hang up on you, but I listen to MLB Network. I watch MLB Network. I don't really listen to the MLB Network radio station on Sirius, but I know everyone from Dan Plesac to, what's her name, Danny Wexelman, and even Harold Reynolds have been campaigning for Cal Raleigh. Mark DeRosa. They all have been... David, yeah. Are you there? Like, I'm like, yo, we're getting the cricket sound effects. Where are you at? You're in Lakewood outside?
Oh, by the way, you whatever. Stepped outside? I actually think you have the best show of anybody on the fan.
Agreed.
But back to...
Oh, bro. You're out there in the woods of Lakewood. You're out there with the deep with the crickets, man. You tried to go outside to get a better signal. I can hear the crickets better than you.
Hey, give me a second. Let me try. Yes, I was just saying that any manager prefer Aaron Judge over Cal Raleigh.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. We can get by. So, like, look at the Yankees situation
NBC
at catcher.
NBC doesn't mean that you play the best in your position.
We played J.C. Ascara at catcher this year, and there's a lot of people talking about how Cal Raleigh is not actually the platinum glove catcher that he once was. His metrics are down this year behind the plate.
Yeah, but even if he was, it's not on what position you play. It's what does the manager want? The manager wants Aaron Judge.
No, it's value. It's the most valuable player. Who adds the most value?
Also, back to the bullpen. I think I really started enjoying Duvall the way he's been playing recently.
Well, just tonight, because he was terrible. No. He was terrible coming in to clean up Luke Weaver's mess.
More and more.
He's got the stuff. Like, that's the thing. Like, this is a guy that throws 100 miles an hour when he can put the ball in the zone and throw strikes. Like, his fastball slider combo is deadly, but he can also be wild.
Yeah, but I'm saying he hasn't been getting the strikeouts recently, but he's definitely been getting the weak ground balls and stuff like that.
They got to fix him. I think there's something to be said too about like the pitch com. Remember there was a pitch com issue because I forget. Oh, it was in the Astros series. You know, the Spanish-speaking pitch comm, they only had one, and there was an issue there. And I mean, he only throws two pitches. They should be able to get through that. But, yeah, I think this team needs – whoa, thanks for the call, David. Damn. I think this team needs Camilo Duvall to find it down the stretch here because that's what they went and got him for at the deadline. Like – that was the last move at the deadline, the buzzer beater. I remember being like, yo, what? I was pumped up to, like, my whole thing with it was Devin Williams is not the closer. Luke Weaver also is not the closer. And I felt like Cashman went out and solved that problem by getting Bednar and Duvall. And I was like, one of them is going to grab this thing by the horns. One of them is going to figure it out. Bednar became that guy. The figuring out process continues for Camilo Duvall. I don't know. Like, we're not going to always be able to throw him like we threw him tonight where the game is a five-run game and we just need him to go out there and be himself for the last three outs. Like, we need this guy to pitch in high leverage in a tie game or a game where we have a one- or two-run lead and pitch the way that he pitched. I don't know how to get into his mind. His psychosis is... his mental state to be like, yo, dude, you the same way that you were used to doing that, like, do that same thing for three hitters in the seventh. But I think that they're working on some things here. I think maybe they might be moving Luke Weaver back further. You know, maybe instead of Luke Weaver coming out before Devin Williams, it's after, like it was today. Like I said, Devin Williams looks like he's, like, mad. Like, I used to say he was soft as baby S. Like, the way he looked tonight, I'm like, he's pissed off. He's got, like, a scowl. He's looking, I'm like, who's he mad at? So, whatever. All good. Continue. But, yeah, as far as Cal Raleigh and Judge is concerned, there's a quote that's floating around on MLB Twitter. And the quote is, if you drop Cal Raleigh's OPS by 180 points, he'd be average. If you dropped Aaron Judge's OPS by 180 points, he'd be Cal Raleigh. Keith McPherson on the Fan with 1 hour to go. Big shot of the night coming up next. Dial 888-808-1019. Don't go anywhere. I will be right back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.